Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single. Even though you could come on the back of a painting, stick it to my wall, and when it falls down, you go, I guess my glue's not strong. My guest today is a hilarious comedian, writer, and filmmaker who you've seen on the other two, Search Party, Big Mouth, and Ms. Marvel. His new movie, Rotting in the Sun, was just named the most bonkers movie at Sundance by Variety Magazine. Plus, he's in a new rom-com called You People, streaming now on Netflix. It's Jordan Firstman!
Yeah!
Everyone in the room is standing up, giving standing ovations in my room right now.
They really are. Also, I want to say, I've been following you on Instagram for so long. I think you're so funny. Oh. So I'm very happy that you're doing this episode.
I'm really happy.
Tell me about this breakup that you had. Do you mind?
Yeah, that one, I'm in a new relationship that I can talk about everything with. The breakup's a little hard because, like...
Great. Let's skip it.
It was. Yeah. I'll just say it was a capital A abusive relationship.
Then we don't have to die. Look, that's all you have to say. I don't want to get into it. Let's not bring this fucking party down. The new boyfriend. Tell me about this.
I mean, he's mage. We love him. He is an Italian Gemini who lives in Berlin. So it's very chaotic, but it's beautiful at the same time. You kind of never know. Yeah.
He lives in Berlin. You live in LA. Where did you meet?
We met in Berlin on the street.
On the street?
On the street. I was walking with a friend that I had just met like 2 weeks ago in Spain randomly. And then I didn't have any friends in Berlin, but I was going there. And this was kind of like, this was right at the kind of mid end of my relationship. And I like took a trip. I was like, had no idea who I was at this point in the relationship. You know, you get into a relationship and like
you get a little lost, you know?
Yeah. So I like took this trip and I repeated the exact trip I took when I was 21 years old to like see how I had changed. It was kind of an experiment for me. So I had had a really big, a life-changing Berlin trip when I was 21 that like completely shaped my sexuality and my life. So I was back in Berlin walking with this new Spanish friend and he was, and oh shit. Can you bleep his name?
Yeah.
You know why? You know
what,
why,
what
Nicole?
What sound do you want the bleep to be? I couldn't have asked for anything better.
You know why I have to bleep his name, Nicole?
Why?
Because these thirsty fucking faggots, I have never tagged him on anything.
Uh-huh.
Because I know they're going to look him up and they're going to follow him and they're going to DM him. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
He is going to fuck them. Like, he's not going to. Like, I wish I could be like, oh, my man would never like. Would,
it's like,
would
no,
never,
he
like,
definitely would. No, and I just don't want that in his DMs.
Yeah. But yeah, where were we? Yeah. So we're leaving
out
his name.
So you met him on the street. You're with your new Spanish friend. And
yeah.
And then what?
And then so he's kind of can be really shy at first. So I thought he was cute, but we didn't really have a vibe. And then I saw him at a party later and we kissed just like we were just like high on drugs and we kissed. And I was like, oh, that's surprising. Uh-huh. And then
that's surprising that I'm high and I'm kissing somebody
in Berlin. What? And then so he was like, we should go to the lake together. Let's hang out and go to the lake on Tuesday. So he gave me his number. Monday comes, I text him, don't hear back. Tuesday, the day we're supposed to go, doesn't text me. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, whatever. These Berlin boys are flaky. And then he texted me on Wednesday and he was like, oh, sorry. And he had like just been on like some sex and drug bender and wasn't mm-hmm. responding and like didn't have his phone. So he was like, let's go to the lake. So we went Thursday and that was like that day. I was like, oh, I'm like fully in love. Like within like one day of knowing him. Mm-hmm. And it was just like immediately so sexy. And like our sexualities were really compatible, but I was still in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And we were open. So like the sex was fine, but it was the first time in this 4-year relationship that I was like, oh my God.
That you
like,
had feelings.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm like in love with this person. And then so we had a very like, we were both overwhelmed, me more so than him. I think he was like, yeah, there's some feelings here, but who is this random like TV writer from LA? And this was like before I like, any Instagram shit happened like before I had mm-hmm. the clout. so basically it like that kind of started the beginning of the end of the breakup, and then the breakup happened. And I kind of, in my mind, I was like, okay, his purpose in my life was to get me out of this relationship. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe it wasn't real love, whatever. So then the pandemic happens. And not the first summer of the pandemic, but the second summer. So now we're like mm-hmm. two years later. Yeah. I randomly end up back in Berlin. I'm not supposed to go there. I was on like a trip to Italy with like a really chaotic group of like New York fashion gays. And I was like, I have to leave. Like you guys are like, I was like on so much coke and like screaming at waiters and like, I can't be here anymore. And so I was like, where do I go? And I was like, Berlin is kind of like, should I do Berlin? Like, I don't really want to party right now, but whatever, let's go. Mm-hmm. And so I went, and the second I saw him, I was like right back there. And like,
did you like hit him up or did you like run into him again?
No, I hit him up. And like, again, he was like, he's so bad at phone and texting. So he didn't text me. I was like, okay, it wasn't meant to be. Like, he was just a thing from the past. And then like day two, he was like, hey, sorry, just seeing this. Like, what are you doing right now? Come to this apartment. And then mm-hmm. I came and it was like, I just, within 2 days, I was like, the love is even stronger than the first time. So we had like 10 days in Berlin where it just like mm-hmm. kept getting like more and more intense. And like at that point, I was always more like, I knew it was love.
Yeah.
And he was still a little bit skeptical because he's like, how would this ever work? He's a lot more practical than I am. But by the end, there were feelings, and like he cried the last day, which I was like, okay, got him.
Tears, feelings, you're mine.
Yeah. And then so the last night I was supposed to be in Berlin, it's all mushy gushy. We were at this party and it's still like COVID vibes. So like the parties in mm-hmm. Berlin. And like Berlin became Germany during COVID, if that makes any sense.
Berlin became Germany.
Like Berlin always felt like Berlin. And like,
Yes. And it feels like the rest of the country where it's like, because Berlin is like a party city, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like lawless and it's very free. And then the pandemic made it like Germany, like strict rules, masks. Mm-hmm. Like they were like that summer, like New York and LA, America was giving like, free for all. This was 2021. And like Berlin, it was like They opened up the clubs, but you had to wear masks in the club, even if it was outside. Oh, okay. It was weird. But so yeah. We found like one party that kind of you can get away with not wearing your masks. We were like super, super high. And they do a thing like called soup in Berlin, mm-hmm. where like you get like a group of people, like five or six people that you're connecting with at the party, and kind of like everyone piles like whatever drugs they have into one thing. And then you mash it up
and you snort it, and it's a fun time, and you'll feel whatever feelings are coming through. That's very funny.
Yeah. So we did a soup and met this guy who we were really vibing with. And we all kind of like, we became like this little family, and it was a really cute night. We went home with him, had good sex. It was great. But like, that was where it should have ended. And then, so I wake up the next morning to go leave and like pack my bags. So I'm like, I feel weird. And then I was like, and so I like tried a barbecue potato chip, and I was like, I can't taste this. I have COVID.
Yep. I like that barometer of a test. Can I taste this barbecue potato chip? No, can't.
Because it is the strongest thing to taste. And then, so I was like, we had already done like the mushy gushy goodbye. And then I was like, I guess I'm moving in to his place. And then so we tell the guy we have COVID. He's like, I have COVID too. He's like, well, at least like let me come over for dinner. We could cook dinner. I think it's going to be like dinner and then go. Mm-hmm. He doesn't leave. He stays for 10 days. And it becomes this like COVID.
This thruple?
Yes. And we're stuck in this one tiny room because his roommate didn't have COVID, so we couldn't even use the kitchen, really. And like immediately, and like was just like so blissfully unaware that like I wanted this to be a one night thing, and like I was not interested in this person being there. And I also was way sicker than them, so they were able to keep fucking, and I would just like be in the corner,
in the corner, snotting, coughing with a hood on, being like, maybe I'll feel better in a minute.
But also like having my heart broken, like it was so heartbreaking for me. And so by like day six, I was literally like, if they would be like cuddling and kissing, I would have my headphones on, I'd be crying in the corner. And I was like, this is the worst experience of my life. And then on like whatever day eight, like I'm giving them the strongest messages. Like they see how upset this is making me. And then day eight, the third comes and he's like, I could see that you're in pain, so I'm going to go. And I'm like, duh, bitch. Like you should have seen this pain day two. You should have seen this pain after dinner.
That's really funny. I see you're in pain. I should go.
Yeah.
He's like, I've come enough. I might as well just leave.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
So then I finally go home. My guy and I keep talking. And then he visited me last April in LA. He had never been to America before. Mm-hmm. And that's when it was just like, this is so undeniable. Like, we're boyfriends now. So that's kind of our story,
our long story. Do you think you're going to move to Berlin, or do you think he's going to move here, or are you just going to keep doing long distance?
I think the goal would be summer in Berlin, winter in LA, one trip back and forth in the fall and spring.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah.
What a dream.
Because like I'm fine with long distance. Like I miss him a lot. It's like right now, especially, but I think it's good for both of us to like have our lives, and like we have very different lives. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that we like can still remain independent in our own lives and be able to like for him not to get like fully swept up into my life, because like I don't know, it's just like it's like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I don't want to fully drag him into all of that mess.
It's easy to sweep somebody up into like the world of entertainment. And it's like, you're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this. And it's like, you don't want him to lose his shit and
yeah.
what makes him him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like that you're like, no, you got to keep doing what you're doing. I'll keep doing what I'm doing and we'll just be together, meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Speaking of you being in entertainment and being a writer, I have learned that you're a Nepo baby. Both your parents worked for Newsday.
Oh, the biggest arts publication in the entire world. Oh my God. Who told you about Newsday?
My assistant, Lindsay, is the greatest researcher of all time. She always finds delightful, delicious things about people. And that's what I found out. The Nepo Baby conversation continues with you, Jordan.
Yes. My mom, writing for the health and science section of Newsday, a small Long Island newspaper, and my dad quitting the sports section to try writing nonfiction.
Is that what made you a writer? Being this Nepo baby where you had a leg up in the world, you knew how to make sentences because you had two parents who did it before you.
Actually, what is funny is that my dad, do you remember that medium that had a TV show called John Edwards?
Yes. Yes. He was like an older butch man.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So my dad ghost wrote his book. That was his job after Newsday was ghostwriting.
And so, that is juicy.
Yeah. He would come over and feel like my mom's grandmother and be like, I have to go see which dead person is around right now.
Oh my God. Literally, how haunting. I fucking love that.
But yeah, that's my no, I wish I had. I'm sure you relate, but like coming here with no connections is, I wish I had more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, I don't know if you have this, but like my mom now lives in Idaho and like still, like, I think I'm doing pretty well in my career.
Yeah, you're fucking killing it.
My mom will still call me and she'll be like, I just met someone in Idaho that is a cinematographer for commercials in Idaho. And like, I really think you should meet them. I think they could really help you
that
out.
That is so sweet. Were you like, bitch, I just went to Sundance. Are you kidding? A cinematographer in Idaho? I know a cinematographer, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, she still like wants to be able to help me, but like there just never was a way she could have.
I really love that. Okay, I find you so funny and endearing and truly only really know you from like your Instagram and whatnot. So did you do like UCB or like stand-up or anything? Like, I feel like I should have run into you in my time performing here.
When I was very young, before I moved to LA when I was 21, and I dropped out of college at like 18 or 19. So the one year I was in New York, I took a couple UCB classes. I don't like to be identified with it. It just like didn't stick for me. Like I never. Uh-huh. I wasn't that good at it. I mean, I think it does take a long time to get good at improv. And I didn't like it enough to like want to put the work into it.
Sure.
And then I think when I first moved to LA, I went to like a couple of open mics and immediately it was like absolutely never, ever.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I would do stand-up if I had to go the open mic route.
Yeah.
Open mics are brutal and comics
brutal.
Are mean starting
mean.
Out. Like,
horrible
just
people.
So mean.
Yeah.
I got to start on like book shows where there was nice people who were like, oh, you are funny. Here's a tag.
Yeah.
Or here's a little thing you could say here. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I have no idea what it's like to do an open mic.
No, it's really crazy. Like there is something, there's a psychological thing about an audience where one, even if they're not stand-ups, like if they don't know you, they don't want to laugh. And if they even know who you are, like vaguely, they will laugh.
They will laugh so hard at shit that's not even funny.
Not funny. Well, like, I think that's the trap a lot of comics get into is that because they're getting so much laughs, like mid-career, they're not able to be funny anymore because they don't know what's funny because the audience is laughing. Like fucking like what Dave Chappelle could say anything he wants and the audience is going to go crazy.
They're going to go bananas for it because it's who he is.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's wild. That's why I'm like, there will be a point, because I plan on being very fucking successful. There's going to be a point where I have too much to be relatable. And guess what? I retire. I don't, like, as soon as I'm like, what's a cab? Like, I'm not doing stand up anymore. Like, it doesn't make sense when you don't. When you can't relate to half your audience, or actually all of your audience.
I think that it is that. And I think, like, the route to me, I think the best route is, like, because you already have stand up is writing. So I think it's like you transition into writing about telling stories about people that aren't yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, so you could still be really successful. You could still keep on making a lot of money, and it doesn't have to, people don't have to get sick of you, you know? Because once they're sick of you, it's kind of dumb. Like, they don't want to see things that are written by you.
It's a wrap.
I think it's like Ellen. It's like, we, like, Ellen, just, like, go completely behind the scenes and, like, executive producers, like, whatever. You should have done this a long time.
Yeah, and don't even, like, throw your name on it. Like, get a pseudonym. Like, be
literally.
Bellen. I don't know.
Yeah, Bellen.
Bellen DeVeteran. Generous. Jordan, real quick, we have to take a break.
Okay.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to, like, own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at, like, having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store. And learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Bebop, boobop, we're back, Jordan.
Wow, okay, I love that break.
Can I ask you about, are you currently in an open relationship?
Yeah.
And have all of your relationships been open?
Yes, I have. I've had, like, this is my 2.5 relationship, and I've never tried monogamy. I just don't think it's in me.
2.5, very funny. I love that you had half a relationship that you're like, it wasn't a full commitment, but, you know, I'll count it as a halvesies. When did you decide that, like, monogamy wasn't for you?
Nicole, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this is the year I stop saying, like, in between every word. I don't know how to do it. It's so hard.
It's truly very hard.
And I'm like, I know I'm not dumb, but I sound so dumb because of the likes.
I don't think you sound dumb because of the likes. I think it's part of the zeitgeist. But I did try very hard to not say like as often as I did. And I try not to go as much. It's a real, like, conscious effort.
Yeah.
I just said, like.
I know. Now it's all we're going, like, to think about
so
the whole time.
Hard. It really is, though, to change the way you speak when you're used to it.
Yeah. But anyway, so I've always been a slut. Like, I've never not been.
Oh, what a treat. I love it.
But yeah, there wasn't ever a time since like 12 years old, I've just been slutty. Mm-hmm. And so the half relationship that was at, and I had been, you know, I had fallen for guys before, but the half relationship started at like 22.
Okay.
And he was like 38 or something, and he was not about to do monogamy either. So that one was just like, okay. The second one, I knew I couldn't do it. He wanted to do it.
Okay.
And it was the biggest, it was one of the big problems the whole time in the relationship is that he agreed to do it without really wanting to do it.
Yeah. And I think in a relationship, you have to be fully fucking honest with somebody. Like, if you don't think, like, unmonogamous, what is it? A non-monogamous. Yeah, a non-monogamous relationship is for you, then, like, you have to just be upfront and honest with
it. Yeah.
But I love the idea of non-monogamy because it's like, if we're not together, what does it matter what you're doing?
And I also love watching my boyfriend be a whore. Like, it's to a point. I mean, like, we're a point.
Okay, so I understand that your boundary is if everyone is sick with COVID, it's not a threesome time. You have to go home.
Yeah, exactly. But if we're at a party fully healthy and there's 12 dicks around, like, I want him to suck every one of those
dicks. Suck them all. I like that. I don't know how much I would be into it. I think I would just get jealous and be like, you don't suck my pussy the way you suck that pussy.
Yeah. And there is, this is the first relationship I'm in right now that I've ever had feelings of jealousy. And it's because of how much I love him. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, I get over it. Cause it's the other side is that we're both not expressing our sexuality and we're going against like who we are. I'd rather some like little feelings of jealousy come up and deal with them. I think people like get so scared of the feeling of jealousy that they're willing to like ruin their entire life to not feel it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just like a feeling insecure or sad. Like, these are feelings we already have so often and you just like push through.
And then there's something to saying it out loud, being like, hey, the way you spoke to that lady really made me feel kind of jealous. And then maybe if you say that to your partner, they're like, oh yeah, you were jealous that someone else was serving me attention.
Yeah.
And then maybe you have like really hot sex because he's like, or they're like, no, I love you. I don't know. I
mean, there's so many interesting dynamics that come with all of it. It is that like, if I see him going for someone that I'm like, oh no, I'm going to like one, like, actually, I'm going to get to that guy first. Like, I'm going to fuck him first. and then it's like, I don't know. It's probably unhealthy that, but there are some just, I'm a person that I don't really believe in like positive or negative or just, I don't believe in like bad or good. I just like things to be dynamic and interesting. So so I think it, being with this person, again, an Italian Gemini, that it's like really all over the place. Like, the relationship is so fun. And sometimes it hurts me. But then the other times it's the deepest I've ever felt and the most compassion I've ever felt. So I don't know. It keeps it all very fresh all the time.
I like it. And I think a lot of like, I don't know, things that we're expected to do as adults is really like put on us as kids. It's like, you get married, you have a white picket fence, you want kids. But truly, I came to the conclusion like the other week, I was like, oh, I don't want kids. And I've said it for a while, but I was like, hard line. Like, I actually do not want them.
Yeah.
I do not want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to pay for something that like didn't
for
deserve
anyone else.
It.
Yeah.
Like, just because you were born doesn't mean I buy you a crib. I like, you didn't do anything to earn
you
it.
Did nothing.
And, like,
work.
You wrecked
have to
my
work
body.
For that.
Like, what are you contributing to this relationship? Yeah. Like, I don't want it. And then I was like, I don't know if I ever need a partner to live in my house. It's my house that I decorated. Yeah. It's my stuff. So it's like, maybe we have my place, their place, and then our place. And
oh my God, three houses. You're like, I need three houses where I'm not getting into a relationship.
I can't fuck you unless there's three houses.
You are going to Ellen DeGeneres route then. Okay, let him get sick of you. Let him get sick of you, girl.
Wait, tell me about your short. No, is it a full length? No, it's a short.
Oh,
no,
bitch, that feature.
I'm
feature
so sorry,
pro, baby.
I'm so sorry.
You tell think me. I would do a short? How dare you?
Well, you've done a short before.
No, I've done.
You did a short called the Disgustings.
Oh,
which
wow.
Several film festivals that it went to them. Yes, that I know.
This research is so funny to me. Yeah, yeah. I love you reading off the screen.
Okay,
like, you know.
Here's something fun. Grew up in Northport on Long Island. It's less gross Long Island vibes and more Gilmore Girlsy, not rich people Hamptons. Lindsay does the work.
I have to just go through my life and never look back at anything I've said because I can't stop saying insufferable shit. Like, everything I say is horrible to listen to 5 minutes later, but it somehow works in the moment. So I try to never look back at anything I've ever said.
I mean, I thought it was very, very funny. Okay. So tell me about Rotting in the Sun, which is a meta queer comedy.
It is. Yes, I guess it is a meta queer comedy. But yeah, this filmmaker named Sebastian Silva made it. And I was already a really big fan of his. He made this amazing movie called Crystal Fairy and the Magic Cactus with Michael Cera and Gabby Hoppe. And that is one of my faves and has been. You would love it. It's so fun. And then he made a movie called Nasty Baby with Kristen Wiig that is really, it was very controversial. But I was a fan and an admirer. I was like, I revered him and I kind of resented him in a way because he was doing what he was making the shit I always wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see someone older than you, more successful than you, doing what you want to do, like just feelings come up.
Oh, yeah. You're like, how did you get to that place?
Yeah.
How are you doing things that are like in my brain that I cannot manifest or write down on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
No, I get it.
Yeah. And then so I randomly met him in Mexico City on the street again. Actually,
I got to walk with you. Jesus fucking Christ. Let's go on a walk.
And actually, I met him in the same plaza that we shot the entire movie. The whole thing is so meta. Like, and I play myself and I play annoying influencer Jordan Firstman. Mm-hmm. And I play like a way worse version of myself, a way more self-involved, narcissistic version of myself. But yeah, he called me and he was like, he didn't know who I was when I met him, even though, like, you know, that year was pretty big online for me, but he's not a super online, whatever.
I was doing pretty well online and I'm actually not sure if he was lying or not.
He really didn't. And then I meet him. We actually did not like vibe so much. Like, I think he thought I was kind of annoying. And I thought he was saying pretentious shit. And so, and we didn't like, he doesn't like any movies. And so he was like saying he didn't like so many movies I liked. And I was like, oh, fuck this guy. But still like liked him. He's so charming. Like, he's incredibly charming. And then he calls me in July. We met in like April or May. And he was like, dude, I just like watched all your Instagram. Like, some of it is really bad. Like, aren't you embarrassed to like post stuff like that?
I love this person. That is so funny to call someone and be like, aren't you fully embarrassed?
He's like, a couple of them are funny, but like for me, most of them are really embarrassing and bad. So anyway, I want to cast you in the lead of a movie.
This person is so fucking
He's
funny.
He's iconic.
Because the way I shop for clothing is I go, oof, this is disgusting. And then I buy it. And then people who are with me are like, wait, you just said that was disgusting. I was like, yeah, it's nasty. I don't think another person will like it. I can't wait to put it on my body.
That is exactly him. Like, he wants to like explore the most grotesque shit he can. Uh-huh. So I think something about him, and this is very in the movie too, but like he feels so unsuccessful in his art. And then he looks at me and he's like, this fucking moron is successful. like what?
God, that's so funny. But I think the reason why I love it so much is like the embracing of it. It's like, oh, this is what people like. All right. Well, I guess I'll put it in my movie and we'll see what happens. What kind of magic happens?
Yeah. And it really like, Yeah, it was. And then so like we started having these conversations and he's like, I'm really going to be mean to you in the movie. And I was like, please, I need it. Like I was the internet. I had started to take the internet like so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, people like turned on me for a second and it felt really bad. And like gay guys are so fucking mean on the internet. Like they love, I'm sure they're the, like they literally support you till the day you die. You can do anything and they love you.
They're very kind to me, but I've seen them be really mean to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do not like to see another gay person winning. They don't like to see a gay person who is like, putting out their sexuality and also trying to be funny winning. Like there's a lot of things that they don't like about me.
My friend Mateo has a lot of people. Do you know Mateo Lane?
Yeah.
People in the comments will say these things that I'm like, he's shirtless because he wants to and he works hard for that body.
Yeah.
And then he's posting funny stuff because he's a funny person. Yeah. A lot of people have a lot of shit to say. And I'm like, just let people live.
Yeah. But it's like any woman could do, if they think a woman is a queen, like they could do the exact, they could say the exact same words, show their body in the same way. And they're like, queen, we love you. We stand forever.
Well, people are trying to figure out why Megan did so well with the gay demographic. And I was like,
yeah,
because she's a murderous doll. What an iconic diva. Yeah. It's like a drag queen. That's why.
But if we say, if Megan was a gay man, it would like, they would literally be like, this is the worst movie ever. But I
hate this.
Oh my God. But like a doll, a little kid gay doll would be amazing too.
I think it would be incredible. But also in that Chucky, come on.
Yeah, true. True. He is the biggest faggot out there. But so yeah, I had been bullied online. I had gotten really sensitive to online. And so the idea of being able to make light of all of it and make fun of myself was so appealing to me. And then we started talking about the sex and he was like, would you be willing to have real sex on camera?
Mm-hmm.
And I had been like approached by Brazzers early in the year to write and direct a porn.
Ooh.
And I really wanted to do it, but my agents were like, absolutely not. Like, no. So I was already like interested in that territory and seeing how far I could push it. And just, I was like, this sounds fun. Like, I want to see if I can like really like have sex on camera. And so I was like, let's go. And then we did it. And there's a few sex scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Okay. Now I'm going to show you a still.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to show you a still.
Having sex on camera. What is that like? Were you aware of the camera? Did you feel, because I know if I have to do something where it's like, okay, everyone's staring at me and I got to go do something, I get a little nervous. And I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if I could do it.
It wasn't really about, I'm pretty good at ignoring a camera if it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Except if it's for some reason, if someone's recording me on their phone, I turn into like a skeleton. Like, shell skeleton.
A shell.
A skeleton. But like, I can't. But if it's like, I don't know, something you were saying about like, if there's a big camera, I can pretend it's not there. That wasn't the hard part. The hard part was that it was the first sex scene we shot was like a 5-person orgy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big plot point happens in the scene. So it's like, it's not just like we're showing sex. It's always wrapped in to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm already kind of in a manic spiral, druggy mode. And then I have to suck this dick. Then they have to like try to put a double-sided dildo in me. I need to get poppers. And then I find a clue as I'm getting the poppers.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I have to run out of the room and tell my friend this has happened. Because basically the movie is like a thriller murder mystery too.
Ooh, okay. A thriller murder mystery with sex.
Yeah, it has everything. And the director was also, you know, stressed about the framing and the lighting. So he was like, no, this over here. And I'm just like frantically masturbating, trying to like stay hard. I'm on like 7 Viagras and it's still like not working. so that scene was hard. And then the second time was just me and one guy. They ended up cutting a lot of that scene, but he just had to eat my ass. So that was, I just had to like lay there and get my ass eaten. That was fine.
That's nice.
And then the third one, I get my dick sucked and I thought the guy was really cute and we had some good off camera chemistry. So I was able to get hard for that. And that was easy.
I fully love how like nonchalant you're like, yeah, that was hard to do. There was a lot of things happening, but like getting my dick sucked, that was a treat.
So this is a still. I want to show you it. Just still. Don't describe it too hardcore because the movie isn't out yet. But this is. So this is.
When does it come out?
We hopefully this year. Do you see it in the chat?
Ooh. Okay. Here's what I'll say. It looks like an indie. It's got the indie lighting.
It's an indie. Imagine it was like full studio light. Like it looked like a Fox NBC like comedy. If I can suck cock on an NBC comedy with full studio lighting, I have made it. Like that is
absolutely you have fucking made it. That is just the funniest imagery. Just like bright poppy dick sucking. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where I hope we're going as a society, to be honest.
Me too. Just turn on channel fucking 4 and see someone sucking a dick. Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question for you. First, we got to take another break.
Yes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapist anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dateme. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy. I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at Babbel.com/dateme. Get 55% off at Babbel.com/dateme. Spelled BABBEL.com/dateme. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. Okay, Jordan, I feel like you're very confident. I feel like you're very wonderful. You get what you want. You don't ask questions. You just do. What should I do to, like, find a partner?
I'm actually, like, kind of surprised because I feel like I feel like we're similar in that way. Mm-hmm. Like we're both confident people who like ourselves, who put ourselves forward in the world and are like have good hearts and put that out there too.
I think
so. It's to me, I'm like just more So I want to hear more about why you think, because I'm surprised. Maybe it's that you're looking for too many things in a person, so you're pushing people away because they don't have to check every box.
Maybe. I think it has a lot to do with I live in LA and I'm a fat Black woman. And I think a lot of people live in a world of optics where they're like, what does this look like to other people? Whereas I'm just like, oh, I don't truly give a shit about, like, I mean, yeah, I care what you look like. You have to be attractive to me, but I can find a lot of attractiveness in a lot of different people. I've said a lot of people are hot that friends are like, ugh, girl. And I'm like, yeah, but like their smile or the way they talk or whatever. So, I mean, I don't want to like boil it down to like, it's LA, but I do think if I lived in like Wisconsin, I'd be like,
I mean,
up.
I think there's a lot. First of all, I think there's people in LA that are into a lot of things too. And I feel like big is very coveted right now.
Really?
I feel, not to say it's like a fad, but I feel like, yeah, I feel like guys love big girls.
I think they secretly like big girls, but I feel like overtly they don't.
Yeah.
Like I got to go to Portland.
Yeah.
Portland's where the chunkers get men. I shouldn't call fat people chunkers. Oh my God.
No, please. I think it's endearing. That's the term endearment. Like, look at that little chunker over there.
Little chunker. Yeah. I mean, if someone called me a chunker, I'd be like, okay, thank you so much.
Yeah. It's so weird. Just like the weight thing is so weird because everyone does like something to hold on to. But then it's like there's so many things. I agree. It's culture that makes them feel like they can't do that or they'll be seen a certain way. There's a really amazing episode of one of our favorite Unproblematic King, Louis C.K.
Super unproblematic. Just really wonderful. Embraced with open arms.
So what I'm saying is you should date him. But he, did you see that episode? So it's called So Did the Fat Lady.
No.
Oh my God. It is fucking brilliant. But basically like this amazing actress. Oh my God. I'm forgetting her name, but she is so, so good. She has this like 8-minute monologue at the end of the episode. Cause he like wants her and doesn't. It's the same thing you're talking mm-hmm. about. And she's like, yeah, if I wanted to have sex, I could get fucked every day. But like you men, like you can't see me as a girlfriend. You can't see me as a wife. And like, you're allowed to be a fat fucking pig and be a husband. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't get that same thing back. It's an amazing episode. I know it's like hard to find that show now, but.
Yeah, I was like, where on earth does that stream?
Yeah. But I remember being really, my mind was expanded during that episode. Cause yeah, it's just, it is a thing. So I don't know. I mean, like, I just feel like it's about like just finding the right guy and keep like being open to love and don't close yourself off to it because it's not happening in the way you want. I mean, I hate the corny thing of like it always happens when you're looking for it the least. But mm-hmm. every time I have fallen for someone, it has been. Anytime I want it, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think you're to me, you're like, you have everything. You're beautiful. You're successful. You're funny. You're nice. And I'm sure you suck great dick. I'm sure you're fun to fuck.
I'm very good at it. The last person whose dick I sucked, I was like, did you like it? And he said, honestly, that's maybe the best that I've ever had. And I was like,
yes.
I said, woohoo. Which
everyone in my room is standing ovation again. There's a standing ovation happening in my room.
I like it. Some women don't like it, and I love it.
I'm obsessed.
Because it's like a little bit of a control thing. I'm controlling your pleasure right now, and I like that a lot.
I literally just like the act of it. Like, it is a completely sensory thing for me. I'm like, I like a dick in my mouth. Like, end of story.
Yeah, it's fun. And then you get to feel what it like. Because they all feel different in your mouth.
Yeah. And there's so, if it also the Rotting in the Sun, the movie, it there's not just the sex scenes, there's also dicks. There's that one critic counted 29. I think there's 31 because there's a dog dick and a statue.
Honestly,
of David.
That's the funniest fucking thing. A critic was like, I counted 29. And you're like, I'm actually.
Yeah. You didn't count the dogs.
There's 32 dicks.
But so watching the movie, you're like, oh, every dick is so different. Like,
yes.
There's no two dicks that look alike.
Uh-uh.
But I don't know, Nicole, like, it's, I wish I had some advice because I really, like, to me, it makes no sense. Like, I feel like you should be boot up if you want that for sure. But
I think
I think it's, yeah. No,
it
you
nice.
Feel like a girlfriend girl. Like you feel
Thank
like
you.
Maybe it's the community. Maybe you need to like just like broaden your scope of, because if you're hanging out in the comedy community, like it's just like nothing. Why would you ever want to date anyone associated
you're
with
right.
that hell? Like I feel like if you just go to different kinds of parties. I feel like also okay. This is real.
Okay.
Just from what I know about you, mm-hmm. you correct me if I'm wrong. Workaholic.
I do work a lot.
Yeah, well, you like to work.
I do like working, and I guess I could stand to like take a little bit of a break.
Yeah,
I'm not touring right now, so like that was one thing. Because what would happen is I'd work all week and then leave on like a red eye on Friday or Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Do stand up, fly back Sunday night or Monday. And then it's like, oh, I really just don't have time for even like friends. So I've taken a little break.
Yeah, that's another thing I could think of. Like, I think the second you like put yourself in a not professional way in like not Hollywood world and normal people world, like mm-hmm. like you would catch one in a heartbeat. Or like, yeah, just some like some travel, like, I mean, there's so much romance for you out there, Nicole. I feel it. And so you need to put some time out there for it. And you've done so well for yourself professionally. So I think you owe yourself a chance to explore other avenues of your life. That would be my advice.
I love that. Thank you. I was at Sundance for one day.
This year?
There was like a, yes. So I had directed a short through a program and they showed it at Sundance, and I had done a weekend of shows in Irvine Thursday, Friday, Saturday, got home at 2 a.m., got on a plane at 7 a.m., slept on the plane for like the 2 hours, and then did press and the screening from 1 p.m. to about 10:30 at night.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, oh no, I feel terrible. And then my agent was like, come to this party. And I was like, I mean, on one hand, I should go because yeah. there will be single fucking people there who are successful because they're at Sundance.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, I was like, I have to sleep. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going to sleep. And then when I flew back, I was like, I should have just gone to that fucking party. I might have met somebody. But that's
there
like
was...
work taking
yeah.
me out of like yeah. meeting somebody. There was
yeah.
one, tell me, you went to fun parties, didn't you?
I mean, we had a really fun house party. It felt like college. I fed a very famous director so much coke that he had a panic attack and had to leave. So like to me. we're not saying who it is.
I mean, literally, one of my agents was like, they had a house and they were like, yeah, we had a house party and it was a lot of fun. I was like,
yeah.
So that's everyone's just having house parties and having a good time. And I'm just like exhausted. Great.
Yeah. I don't know. But for me, I'm like, I'm envisioning it's like, it's out of the industry. I don't know
okay.
why I'm seeing your life as a rom-com for some reason, but it's like,
I love it.
It's giving doctor to me. It's like, I don't know. I feel like it's someone who's like obsessed with you and like, enamored. I feel like you like a guy who's obsessed with you, right?
Oh, of course, because I'm a fucking dum-dum. Yeah, and yeah. I need him to like love how dumb I am sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like it's gonna be someone not in this industry, and it's gonna okay. be someone who it just like finds you the best in every way and kind of can't understand
okay.
a lot of the industry part of it, but like makes a lot of money and
yes.
and like cooks for you. And that's what I'm seeing for you. So I feel like those people, you know, just don't end up in our world at all. So just broaden the world a little, girl.
I guess. I have two friends. I'm not touring right now, but I have two friends who like met people while they were touring and now they're like in long distance relationships. And I'm like, but I did that for years. I toured for like a solid 5 years trying truly at every corner to find somebody. And nary did I find a single one.
Yeah. And you're on the apps and stuff?
Girl, yes. I'm on all the apps. I'm on Tinder, OkCupid. OkCupid, Raya, Bumble. I was on Field, but that was a little too intense for me.
Oh, yeah.
Are you on Field? Are you, you're not on any apps, are you?
No, I'm on like Grindr and Scruff, and there's this one. Have you heard of Sniffies?
I think I heard of Sniffies. Sniffies is like a map that shows people where they are.
It's just like a map of dicks and assholes.
I like Sniffies. Sniffies is funny and oddly specific. On the episode with Manila Luzon, we went and looked at Sniffies. And truly, it's just like, I am looking for X, Y, and Z to come to my Ford Explorer and fuck me. Yes. But don't say hello. only speak with words without vowels. And you're like, what?
I think I actually fucked that guy. Super hot. Gorgeous, actually. But I don't know. It seems like also you've done this podcast enough to have, you've probably heard everybody say everything that's possible. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a waiting for the right moment vibe. Because to me, it feels like you're doing everything right. But maybe it is about wanting it less and just being open to being like open more to the feeling of love and less about the like external, like I want a boyfriend or like I want someone like this, just being like, I want to give my love to someone and like putting that vibe out.
I do like that. I want to give my love to someone.
Yeah.
Also, I also am hearing from you that I need to start taking more walks.
Yeah.
Because it seems it'll help in relationships and career stuff.
Yeah. But it can't be. But I think you're right. I'm not prophesizing this person is living in LA.
Okay.
I think he's gonna move here for you. But I'm giving you a full tarot card reading right now. Well, we have the King of Swords that is saying.
I mean, I like it. This feels good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Wait, are you a Leo?
No, I have a lot of Leo placements. I'm a Cancer.
Oh.
But all my planets are in Leo. Are you a Leo?
No, I'm a Virgo, but you're giving me such Leo vibes.
That's why you're a workaholic.
Is it really? I don't know anything about horoscopes. I just know about Leos.
I think Beyonce is a Virgo, right?
She is September 4th.
So, I mean, have we ever met more of a workaholic than Beyonce?
We sure haven't. She had foot surgery and she wore little biscuit pumps and she was performing in Dubai. Wait, why are we mad that she was performing in Dubai? I'm dumb because I don't know.
No, it's so stupid because we've never gotten mad at someone going to Dubai until now. But like, obviously they're homophobic and like don't have gay marriage and hate gay people. But it's like... Mm-hmm. People go to Dubai all the time and we don't get mad at them. I want to go to Dubai. Like gay people go to Dubai. It's like, you shouldn't really like kiss on the street. But I mean, maybe I'm just the wrong person to talk about this, but I think people just want a reason to be mad at anyone for anything.
Yeah. Cause I wasn't sure. I was like, we're mad about this. What I'm mad about is she performed at an Atlantis. Have you seen Atlantis? Ew.
But low key, the production value, insane. Like they ate that production design.
I mean, it looked good.
Yeah.
But like Atlantis, I've been to Atlantis in Bahamas and it's nasty. But also I think it's like super, super old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, maybe we love Atlantis now. Like if it's like a new Atlantis, like maybe it's back.
Maybe Beyonce is like, no, Atlantis is back, baby.
Yeah, like Y2K style. Yeah, Y2K style is very back in. So like maybe Atlantis is like part of the glow up.
That's so fucking funny. Okay,
but I would take a free trip for...
I would also take a free trip. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I'll take a free trip truly to anywhere.
Yeah.
Outside of the United States. I don't need to see more of this place.
No,
okay?
No, we're good.
Did you know that Sundance is like in Utah and nowhere close to Seattle. Did you know that?
I did. I did know that.
How did everybody know this?
It never gave Seattle for me.
I thought Utah was right next to Seattle. I thought I was going north. And then I said something about being up north. And the lady who was like taking me to things was like, honey, where do you think
you're perpendicular? You're like exactly perpendicular right now.
Yeah. And I was like, north. And she was like, no, honey. Do you want to look at a map real quick? And I was like, okay. And I looked at the map and I was like, my mind is blown, ma'am. I had no idea that this is a lateral move from LA.
It's really fun to look at maps. Sometimes I will just go and be like, wait, like Chechnya is there? Like, I had no idea. Like,
Yeah, I don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
Ask me where Ireland is. I'm like, I don't know. And then when you finally see it, you're like, oh my God, of course that's where Ireland is.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere else.
Yeah. It was literally born to be there.
Yeah. Obviously, that's where Ireland belongs. Okay, Jordan, we have reached the end. I fucking adore you.
You're the best. This is so fun.
Anything you want to promote?
I have a Netflix movie. I have a small part, but the cast is really cool. This movie called You People that comes out. It will have come out by the time we're on here. So we'll know if it did well by the time this comes out.
Or will we? Or will Netflix just go, we'll never tell.
Yeah. But I feel like the Netflix like life of something is like 2 weeks. It's like, that's going to be the biggest thing in the world for 2 weeks. And then you will never.
That's it.
And like the lead of it will get 25 million followers and 100,000 brand deals. And then it's over.
And then it goes away. And then also Rotting in the Sun, hopefully will be bought up by somebody and distributed.
Yeah. Dave. I'm going to be on Dave this season.
Oh, okay.
I have a fun part on that. Two other things I can't talk about. And then just like, whatever.
Well, I want to hear what you can talk about. Okay. Whatever. Well, that's it for this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? You can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe. You can write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. Mars, my wonderful producer, she reads them, so she doesn't like dick pics. I don't see them, so don't send a dick pic thinking I'll see it. Okay, this person said...
I have one more thing to say.
What?
I want you to tell your followers that if they're a gay person and they're going to talk shit about me or Mateo or any of your gay friends, that you're not gonna you hate them for that, and that you're not gonna let them be your fan anymore.
I co-sign that. I will not let you be my fan. I will come into your home and say, X, you aren't a fan anymore. But if you're a fan of mine, there's no reason to be mean to Jordan or Mateo or any other gay men that maybe you don't like. Also, how about this? If you don't like something, just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Just keep scrolling. You don't have to say anything. I like had to turn the comments off of this, like my post for this for a minute, because I was like, I work hard on this podcast. I like doing it. I don't want to hear negative thoughts.
Yeah. End of story.
Yeah. Okay. So this person said, Nicole, I would watch you pole dance for hours. You would beg to take a break, but I would say no. Finally, I would throw you down on the athletic training mat nearby and let you rest. I would use the Theragun on all your sore muscles.
Oh, my God.
Finally, when you're super relaxed and say, I feel better, I would use the Theragun on your pussy. I would get you so close to coming, then whoops, dang, forgot to charge the battery and it dies?
Shit.
This is the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me. You want
but
me to
it happens.
Work out?
Batteries die.
Yeah, but if you're going to make me work out for so long, you should make sure that it works and I come. So I don't even get to come in this fantasy. Wow, wow, wow. What a mean. You're not a fan. X to
wait,
you.
But then does it like, then he finishes you off yourself, himself,
nope.
Right?
It just says sorry.
Ew. No.
Isn't that mean?
No, he is bad. This is a man.
Bad, bad, bad. No, unfortunately. Actually, I don't know. It is a feminine-leaning name, but I don't know how they identify. So they are not kind.
Not kind. And not your fan anymore. You're
not my fan.
Not my fan.
X,
hashtag not my fan. I love that you just start like canceling fans. You're just like, every day you put a list of people who aren't your fans anymore.
Goodbye, get out, goodbye. Okay, Jordan, thank you so much.
This is so fun. Bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solo-Taroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.